Hello everybody, my name is Žarko Živanov. I'm coming from Serbia and I will talk about 8-bit computers from Yugoslavia from the 80s. I'm sorry this speech will be in English because I don't speak German, so I hope you'll understand what I say. I don't speak English very often, so I will probably add some pauses when I need to think about the words that I will say next, but don't worry about that. Okay. First, who am I? What I'm doing here? I started to collect old 8-bit computers many years ago, and the main problem with computers from Yugoslavia is that they are not preserved very well. We had a lot of unique machines, but most of them were lost in time, unfortunately. And, my mission is kind of to find what I can and preserve what I can. Together with my friends, in 2011, we started a non-profit organization, Once Upon a Byte, in Serbia, and the main goal is, of course, preserving the old 8 and 16-bit computers. Actually, in 2012, we organized our first exhibition for the Night of the Museums in Novi Sad, and we had, I'm not sure, but there's around 5,000 visitors that year. Actually, that was mostly because we are in, as part of the exhibition in a big museum, but okay, 5,000 visitors is something. I don't know do you recognize this word, but our computers were in a section of the museum for archaeology, which was quite obvious. Next year, 2013, we also organized one exhibition, this time in the hall of Faculty of Natural Sciences. We had a lot less visitors, maybe 800, but they are practically all the visitors that came to see computers. They didn't expect to see something else. Also, we have a very good connections with the Linux user group of Novi Sad, and we also had exhibitions at their events, Balkon 2013 and the first two bar camps that they organized. They're also organizing Balkon, which is a Balkan computer conference this year in Novi Sad in September, so maybe if you're interested you can come. There will also be a retro part in it. For a professional background, I'm a user of Linux since 2006. I'm a teaching assistant and a professor at Faculty of Technical Sciences in Novi Sad, and this is my mail address if you're interested in contact. Okay, so the main course, Yugoslav computers in the 80s. There were a lot of problems for Yugoslav people to get any kind of computer before 1984 because we had an import law that said that you cannot import anything that was pricier than 50 euros. 50 Deutsche Marks. And of course, you all know, I guess, that computers were cost a lot more than that. And our people started to think what to do. So the first solution for that problem was, of course, smuggling. A lot of people tried to smuggle computers in Yugoslavia. Some succeeded, some don't. It all depends on the customs officers who was in charge. Next solution was to buy a computer from Yugoslav resellers, but because of those laws, they had to sell computers for 2, 3 or more times the price on the outside, and that was too much expensive for us. And of course, the third solution that came late in 1983, December, I don't know, 20 or something. Actually, let's say 1984 was our first domestic home computer, successful domestic home computer called Galaxia. The thing with Galaxia that it was a type of build your own computer, and this is the actually first number of first Yugoslav computer magazine that came in 1984, in January 1984, and the main thing in that magazine was complete plans for Galaxia. You had complete electronic schematics, you had a PCB board layout that you could photocopy on the, how you call it, the
PCB.
The PCB, yeah, and you can build your own computer. So it was a really cheap solution for the, I mean cheap, it was an affordable solution for the people in Yugoslavia to get a computer. And actually there's, some say that between 8,000 and 10,000 of these computers were built in Yugoslavia at that time. The computer was practically a vision of one man, Voj Antonić. He actually made plans for Galaxia in 1983 and published all in that magazine. This is Voja from last year's 30-year anniversary of Galaxia. He had a lot of help from people from that magazine in assembling the final version and debugging the software. So what was the special part about Galaxia? So it had very few parts. It had a Z80A processor, had 6 kilobytes of RAM and only 4 kilobytes of ROM. So all of its basic and operating system were in that 4 kilobytes. Those who are proficient in electronics could see that there is practically no video output circuits on it. And that is because the video output is completely generated by Z80 processors. Actually, something about 70-80% of its time was doing the picture generation. But the thing is that drove the price of this computer considerably lower. Yes.
Is it similar to the ZX80 or 81?
Yes, actually, ZX81 was the inspiration for the Galaxia, but it's not its copy. Mm-hmm. It is, I mean, that was an inspiration, but this was the original project.
Okay.
The other thing that made Galaxia cheap was that the motherboard was single-sided. That meant that you could practically make that motherboard at home, because making a double-sided motherboard at home would be much more complex. You could see that all the lines are very thick, so you could have a really lousy equipment and make motherboard that works. It had also, because it was a single-sided, it had a lot of jumpers that you should solder to on the other side, but okay, that's the price. For the computer, there were a lot of peripherals that were designed. It had a tape recorder. This here was the first and only joystick for the Galaxia. Unfortunately, I don't have one. And some firm from Novi Sad made a printer for it. And actually, later that printer was modified to work with ZX Spectrum. The computer was because it was a completely open source project for that time. It had open source hardware and open source software. A lot of people started to modify it, and soon there were someone made a better operating system. They made better graphics. They added sound and so on. And it had a very active scene around that computer for several years. Public response to Galaxia was very good. It was announced in many magazines and TV shows in Yugoslavia at that time, and even some radio show from Belgrade aired program for Galaxia over radio waves. So in that show they would announce, okay, next 10 minutes you will hear some very strange buzzing. If you press record on a tape recorder, you will hand the game that and that. And so the people would download the games over radio waves, and we practically had one of the first wireless networks in Yugoslavia at the time. This is one of the Galaxia that was home built, and this one is the industrial version because some firm from Yugoslavia made about, I'm not sure, 200 or 300 of these for the schools. So practically, because every owner of Galaxia except the schools made his own Galaxia, there are many varieties of that computer. I mean, its exterior. Some of those people decided not to package it at all, and some made various boxes for it, so you could see some examples here. Practically, there are as many Galaxias as their owners. Practically, everyone is unique. As for Galaxia today, in 2011, Dragan Paroman and Dušan Grujić developed something called Micro Galaxia. It is a Galaxia completely emulated in FPGA board. You can see it here. And in 2012, Slovenian Thomas Scholz made a CMOS version of Galaxia that is practically Galaxia that you could build with today's components. So if someone is interested, he can see at his site complete plans for building it on your own. Okay, that is a brief story about Galaxia. Now something about other computers that were in Yugoslavia at that time. The main problem with those computers is documentation. Unfortunately, a lot of those computers were in schools. I mean, not fortunately, luckily for that time, but unfortunately for what happened later. A lot of those computers were in schools and in various firms, and when PC came, they were mostly destroyed or put to trash. That happened with documentation, and me and my friends are trying to find documentation for some of the computers. For some of them, we have nothing, unfortunately. We are trying to find and preserve whatever we can. Okay, so,
Seth. How good do you think is the chance to find documentation outside of your country?
So very small.
Were those sold outside UK somewhere? Probably not.
No, I don't think so that were. There are some collectors in Croatia, but I didn't still had the contact with them. And there is a technical museum in Belgrade that has some of those computers. I'll try to contact them on several occasions about the documentation, but unsuccessfully so far. I'm planning to go there and chop them. Okay. I'll say something about most of those computers you saw on the previous slide. First one is called Lola 8. Its development started something in 1983, and this is the first prototype that was shown on some fairs in Yugoslavia, but as you can see, it has industrial keyboard, not the standard one. It has a regular, how do you say it, matrix. It had a very poor characteristics, and the price was around 600 Deutschmark, which was quite expensive. Price of Galaxia was around, 200 or something like that. So it was pretty expensive for us, but actually that model never came to production. It was only a prototype. What came to production was Lola 8A, which was practically quite a different machine from the original prototype. They changed a lot of things, The most important thing is that it had a lot of more ROM and had a better graphics and sound. This is one of the computers I have no documentation at all. It has a lot of ports on the back side that I don't know what are used for. It has even this big edge connector that I don't know what it is for. It has a monitor port I don't know how to use and so on and so on, but I'm hoping to find that.
Through the wiring.
Well, the problem with this machine that I acquired it about a year or something ago, and it is the first, the only piece of that computer that ever saw in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody else that has it, and I don't want to experiment with it. You know, but it works. Okay, on to the next one. Next one is called Galeb, or Seagull in English. It is it's made in Croatia, and practically its development started in 1981, but they never had the funds to finish the production, and production started only at the end of 1984, and it was only produced in 250. Do you say pieces? Or mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, 250 pieces. What's interesting, because of the same laws that were in Yugoslavia at that time, any company that wanted to import something had to export at the same value something else to the outside. And the company that made Galeb didn't know what to do, and they actually sold homemade baskets. in Europe, and for exchange for that money, they bought processors and RAM chips to make Galeb. Galeb was a child of a guy called Miroslav Kocian, and he practically built it on his own.
Do you know the relation about how many baskets for?
I don't know. I don't know that.
Okay.
Probably many. The reason why this machine was produced in only 250 pieces was the Kocian's next computer called Orel. That was practically the enhanced version of Galeb, and its production started very quickly after the Galeb production, and that is why the first one was dismissed. It had much better technical characteristics, and it was wildly used in Croatian schools. It was practically the, let's say, semi-official Croatian school computer. Unfortunately, its price was very high for home users, but it was used in schools at least. The company that made Orel also made something called Orel Plus, which had enhanced characteristics, but actually never came to market because the PC was already catching on, and I think they made only several copies of it, and those are the only pictures I have of it. In 2007, Josip Perušanac from Croatia made a replica of Orel. You can find all the details on his site. And it is practically a CMOS version of the early Orel computer. And in 2008, he actually added a lot of electronics to it. IDE interface, he added Commodore's SID sound chip and TMS for video. But actually, that is not Orel anymore, practically. Next computer which developed and started in 1983 was Pacom 32. It was made in A-Niche. It is an electronic company from Yugoslavia at the time. And it was practically a, how do you say, PhD thesis of some guy who made it. It was inspired by a Hong Kong computer, Conx 35. It has the same processor, that computer, and shares the basic interpreter. What is interesting about this computer is that Amish at the time was practically making electronics for the military, and that chip, CPD, was practically military processor used in various military electronics. And you maybe know something, okay, not made by Amish, something called Voyager space probe, heard of it? It has the same processor. So, someone, at the time it was a kind of a joke that they said that Peckham could sustain nuclear blast, but of course, it's made of plastic, processor maybe survived, but nothing else.
Probably it can survive radiation very good.
I guess, I don't know, I never tried.
That's the reason why it gets used in space,
yeah.
Where you get all the solar radiation.
I mean, but
the chip is radiation hard.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why they made it with that chip is because they were familiar with it. They worked a lot with it. Peckham 32 was very short-lived and was replaced with Peckham 64. You can see it at my part of the exhibition, also Galaxia and Lola. One more thing. When Amish started to develop their computer, they wanted to name it something like First Domestic Microcomputer, which in Serbian says something like Prvi domaći mikroračunar. And the problem with that is that someone noticed that if you take first parts of that words, you would get a word Prdomir, which would translate in English something like Fartman. And that is the reason why they changed the name to Peckham. I heard that from a professor that worked on the project at the time.
Is that problem? That problem also happened to Commodore. Their first computer, the PET, the personal electronic transactor,
yeah,
in France, PET is a fart.
I know some. I heard something about VIC 20 in Germany,
yeah,
and also because
course,
VIC,
yeah,
is something very rude. I'm,
yeah,
sorry. I don't know what. Maybe I don't want to know. And then change it to VC,
yeah,
Volks computer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One more interesting thing about Peckham 32. There are very few pieces of that computer. I acquired one about 2 years ago. A friend of mine made the emulator for Peckham 64 at the time, and he wanted to make an emulator for Peckham 32, but there were no ROMs for that machine. And I bought that one just to make a copy of its ROM to give it to him so he could make an emulator, and the machine was partly damaged. We took out the ROM and found out that it was erased. Luckily, before New Year, I managed to find another Peckham 32 not working. But it turned out that only some wires were disconnected. That one was working, and we made a first copy of its EEPROM and put it on the internet, of course. So that was my contribution.
Excuse me, just one thing.
Yes.
Four slides back, your EEPROM does not have something covering the window.
Yeah, no, I know. That was the...
that was the one, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this one I have here have covered. Window,
just
so
in case
worry.
It's another one that's slowly sitting,
yeah,
by a window.
Yeah, actually the Lola computer I bought also have open windows on its EEPROM, so I the first thing I did was to put some aluminium over it, just in
good
case. Also, the guy that makes Peckham emulator started to make a Lola emulator because he came to me and we made copies of its EEPROM. It was practically the first copies of Apple for that computer, so that is still a work in progress. Next machine is called HobbyZR 84. It was made by some small company in Novi Sad, It cost around 300 Deutschmark, which was very affordable for the people in Yugoslavia. But for some reasons unknown to me, it was never produced in larger quantities and practically never reached the market. It was used in schools in Novi Sad and its surroundings. And actually, it was used for one of the first electronic testing systems in Yugoslavia that I know of, because the company that made the computer made a testing system where each student had a table with four buttons, A, B, C, D, and the computer would show the questions on TV screen, and you could select which student would answer. The teacher would press his button, the student will enter its answer, and later on the computer will print out the results. It was, I don't know, that was in 1984. It is probably one of the first electronic testing systems in Yugoslavia, I don't know about the world. The computer is actually initially built by a 16-year-old boy who was self-taught. And the only thing that he practically borrowed was the basic interpreter for Tandy, from Tandy computer. All the rest was his own electronics. Unfortunately, I don't know anybody that had any piece of that computer, and the photograph you see here is the only one I could get. It was made for piecing two parts from some magazine. I found one of the guys that worked on that computer, made an interview with him about a few months ago. I plan to publish it soon. But unfortunately, he also didn't have any piece of that, so I'm still searching. I hope I'll find one. Besides making our own computers, we also made a couple of clones. This here is something called Misedo 85. It was practically rebranded Tandy Coco 2. It was sold by a Montenegro company called Montex. It was mostly used in schools, and actually that was my school computer in high school, you know, first year. One more thing from that time. The teacher that taught us BASIC at high school practically knew nothing about programming, unfortunately. And at one time, we had to make some program that worked with strings. And I made a string variable called C$, and she would only accept programs that looked the same as is in some book that she had. And because all the string variables in her book were called A$, she said, no, that cannot work, and I had to prove to her, please see this program works. Yeah. Another cool computer was Oric Nova 64. It was rebranded Oric Atmos, but with 64 kilobytes of RAM. So it's not exact copy, but somehow enhanced. They were sold with power supply that looked like this, and it had a bay for a floppy drive. But actually, I never saw anyone that had a floppy drive for it, so I don't know how to use it, nor how does it work. Another popular thing was to make keyboards for ZX Spectrum computer. There are some of the examples of those keyboards. One of them is displayed at the exhibition, something like this, Trend keyboard. This one was a very luxury keyboard for Spectrum, as you can see. And it was actually sold with a micro, included micro drive and a power source inside it. And the machine that you see here was actually used in Belgrade Airport for issuing tickets in 1983 or 4, I forgot. Also, we made some CPM clones. This is one of them called Team O11. It was used mostly in high schools, but it is because of that not many pieces are left, and I know only one guy that had a has a working machine, but he doesn't have the complete software for it, unfortunately. We also made PC compatible machines. One of the more interesting is made by company which made Pacon. It's called Alira 512. What's interesting about it, it is a XT clone, and it has included CGA and Hercules graphics at the same time, and had composite and TV output for it. So you could just plug it in on TV like any other home computer. Unfortunately, I didn't bring that one because it is about 10 kilos and it we already had a limit for the baggage on the plane. Okay, so what happened to all those home machines that were used in Yugoslavia? Well, while the whole world was arguing which one was better, was it ZX or 64 or CPC or TI, firmness in Yugoslavia actually tried to make a computer, they wanted to sell the computer to schools, so they were fighting a lot about it. It lasted until 1989, I think, and while they were fighting it, who will get the money, they all practically became pushed by PC, unfortunately. And PC is practically the thing that won in the end. As for today, emulators for most of those machines exist. Pacom emulator, I will mention it, developed by Jedrag Milanovic, is part of MES emulators. Work on Lola 8A is ongoing. It will also be part of MES. And a lot of individuals, including me and my friends in Once Upon a Byte, are trying to preserve as much as we can. You can see those computers, some of those, on the exhibition. It can be seen in some of the computer museums. There is a technical museum in Belgrade, and there is one in Croatia, Pick and Poke. Maybe someone heard about it. Okay, that is the end of my speech. These are the references. If you have any questions, please ask.
Those people get those keyboards because keyboards are special parts.
Well, actually, there was a firm, one of those firms that made keyboards for ZX Spectrum, actually was making keyboards for a lot of industry, and actually they were those who made keyboards for most of the computers in Yugoslavia.
Okay. And all these keyboards were kind of Latin, modified Latin.
Actually, they made it to they made contacts directly on PCB board, and they only have caps, and you can tell them, okay, print me that and that with caps, and that's it.
But correct me if I'm wrong. In Serbia, this Russian type or Greek type.
Yeah, we have a Latin keyboard and have a Cyrillic keyboard. Actually, you can Pacom 64. Had two font sets in it. It had a Latin and had Cyrillic. I activated Cyrillic. So when you activate Cyrillic font, so you can practically list basic programs in Cyrillic. It's very weird and very unreadable, but you can do it. Okay?
I have a historical question. I think at the end of the 80s, the difference between the Western and Eastern technology was very enormous. And do you think that the informatic has ruined the socialism?
No, socialism ruined socialism, I think. But the thing with Yugoslavia was that okay, European Union war. Well, I know we had sanctions imposed in 1991, and that was a really big, really big blow for our informatics. And practically till 2000, we had very very little connections with the outside world, and our informatic development was very very much slowed because of that. But it's not because that Western computers were better. I mean, we had a lot of knowledge of that time. I don't do know, but in 1960s, Yugoslavia was one of the five countries in Europe that produced computers and sold them.
How many countries?
Five countries in Europe only sold computers and made computers in 1960s. But for some reason, that didn't continue. I don't know why they didn't manage to develop that further.
So far, I know it was a thing that the Soviets basically said, "We're already doing it. You don't, all the other small ones don't need to do it." So it was sort of told, "You don't do it."
Well, it may be something like that, but I don't know.
So far, nearly all the small East Bloc countries then after went into making mini computers because the. Or the microcomputers, because the Soviets basically thought computers equals
big. Yeah, yeah. In Yugoslavia, after...
But they were not allowed to call them computers then also.
Well, I know. I mean, we were in the 70s, we were using a lot of Honeywell and DEC computers. But I don't know why developments stopped.
I know Hungary produced PDP-11 clones, for example.
I heard about
Bulgaria.
Yeah. Bulgaria, yes.
I talked to a guy around 82. No. Who
they're called
that
TPA something.
We had clones of Apple II that was made in Slovenia, I remember, but I don't know about the mainframe computers. I don't have one. Okay.
Where did microprocessors come from?
Microprocessors were mostly Western-made. Yeah. I don't know. Only
but
for
was
the...
was there not a great restriction to buy?
Yes, we had and
smuggling.
I mean, I told you about the selling baskets for Z80 microprocessors, so that is something that most of the firms that wanted to import chips had to do. They had to export something, anything, and for that money, for the same amount of money, they could buy electronics from the West.
And what about the Russian microprocessor industry in this time?
Sorry, I don't know about that.
Well, I know about 1982 or something, they were making PDPs in, I think, Bulgaria, because I met somebody at the Paris Unix conference then, and he said, yeah, we're cloning the PDP-11s, but we haven't got to the backs yet.
I know that in Bulgaria they had clones of various Western machines, but again, it is a similar situation as in Yugoslavia. A lot of that was forgotten and destroyed or something like that, and people are trying to say what they can.
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much. I'll have to come by your place.